Happy Sabbath. It's the last Sabbath of 2024, the last Sabbath of me being personal ministries leader. But my sermon today entitled How to Prosper in 2025. And a survey is always taken at the end of each year to people all around the world to ask them, what do you want to do? How do you want to better yourself for the next year? And the answers were like this: to improve their health, to save more money, we'd like to do that, to eat healthier, now that's a good thought, isn't it? To improve mental health, now that's a big struggle in the world today. Mental health has surpassed heart disease and cancer. More doctors have to deal with mental health than even physical health there now. To learn something new. That's good. It's always good to learn something new every day, isn't it? I'm going to have to take this mic away from here and hold it. It's annoying me. That's better. Thank you. Being more happy. Who here wants to be more happy? Amen. Amen. This is awesome. Spending more time with the family. That's always a good thing. We get so busy with work and everything, running around. Do we spend enough time with family? And being less stressed. So these are a lot of the things that people, when the survey was taken in Australia. Now, do you know how many people actually succeeded in keeping their New Year's resolutions? 1%. And we don't even know if those people were telling the truth. We don't have any proof of that. But it's pretty sad, isn't it? That with all those different requests or New Year's resolutions, only 1% was successful in being able to succeed. But friends, I want to share something with you today that I believe will make you succeed. You will be successful if you follow these key principles that are in the Word of God, not in astrology where many people will turn. They go to the stars and all these sorts of things and the moon, and they think they're going to find their palm reading and whatever in relation to that. Now, I actually agree with them in some point, because there is something in the sun, the moon and the stars that I want to share with you today that I believe will make you prosper in 2025. Are you on board with that? Yes. Amen. Do you want to prosper in 2025? Yes. Okay, let's find out how we can do it. Not just yourself, but me too. Okay, we have a picture of the sun there. Now, we all know what the sun is. But I just want to share a couple of things with you about the sun. The sun is the closest star to the earth. Isn't that a wonderful thought? The sun is the closest star to the earth. The sun has a crown, and it's the only star that does have a crown. Take these thoughts in, will you please? Because this is a physical thing, but as we go through the scriptures today, we're going to embark on the spiritual side of these things as well. The sun is the star at the centre of our solar system. So it's the closest to the earth. It has a crown. It's the centre of our solar system. And the sun is the most important source of energy to this earth. If the sun was taken away, what would happen? We'd die. Okay, keep those thoughts in your mind. Now, the moon. The moon is the second brightest object in our solar system. How can that be? The moon is made of rock. I pick up a rock. I can't see much light in that, can you? Where does the moon get its light from? The moon gets its light from the sun. Amen. Stars. Wow. Well, the sun is just one small star in a pinwheel, containing about 100 billion blazing suns aligned to form a disk. Now, I can't believe this. This is just incredible. 100 billion stars? Look, I struggle counting to 100. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of stars. So let's keep it in our mind what we've just learnt this morning so far. We've learned about the sun, the moon and the stars. These are physical elements in our world. I love the Word of God. And in the Word of God, I go to that for my source of enlightenment, my source of strength, my source of courage. In Genesis 1, 14 to 16, it says this, and this is right if you want to look it up, Genesis 1, 14 to 16. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights. How many lights did he make? Were they great? Fantastic. You're listening. The greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. And he made the stars also. Amen. So here we have, in the creation, right at the beginning, God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. Let's see what the psalmist says. In Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4, if you'd like to look that up, Psalm 8, verse 3 and 4. I love the book of Psalms. He shares so much with us about promises. But also, I think David, being a shepherd, how often he would have looked out at the stars at night as he watched over the sheep. Do you agree with me? So let's think about David looking over the fields at night, that moonlight shining down, and he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we in the celestial world out there in our universe? Over 100 billion stars, the sun and the moon that are there being sustained by God. And David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are we? We're just pygmies. We're fallen in sin. But God loves us so much. He loves us so much that when man fell, when man decided that he knew better than God, God was mindful of us. So what did God do? He sent prophets. He sent prophets. You think, what's this got to do with the sun, moon and stars? Well, I'm asking you today to come on this journey with me. As I prepared this sermon, I couldn't believe it and how it thrilled my heart. For 120 years, Noah preached. Noah preached that God would bring a flood upon the earth to destroy the wicked. And those who would believe in the message and would prepare for that event by repentance and reformation should find pardon and be saved. That's from Patriarchs and Proverbs, page 92. So here we have a prophet that for 120 years, with every nail that went into that ship, with every plea he made, mind you, they'd never seen rain before. It almost seemed impossible, but Noah had faith and he preached. Noah was a prophet, and for 120 years, he nailed those nails into that ship, and only eight were saved. Then we have Moses, another great prophet. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness. He spent 40 years of sharing the love of God, showing them a better way, leading them from Egypt to Canaan, from sin to righteousness. But once again, the people of God rejected the prophet. They wouldn't hear what he had to say. They wanted to hear him when he died. It was all too late. Another prophet maligned. Then we have Isaiah. Isaiah was called from a young man to be a prophet. And I don't know about you, but I read that book of Isaiah, and it is a beautiful book. It's actually called the Gospel of the Old Testament. It goes through so many beautiful phases of the ministry of Christ. It goes through, it talks about heaven. It talks about Jesus. Who cannot read Isaiah 53 and not weep about the love of the Son of God, that he took the sins upon us. He bare the guilt and shame. All we like sheep have gone astray. Isaiah pleaded with God's people to come back to him, but they wouldn't heed him. What did it cost Isaiah? It cost him his life. He was cut in half. Another prophet, gone. We come to Jeremiah, a weeping prophet, a heartbroken prophet with a heartbreaking message to God's people. He pleaded with them. He tried to encourage them to come back to God. For more than 30 years, he proclaimed a message of doom to a stiff-necked people. Are we a stiff-necked people? Do we listen to the prophets? These are examples for us to look back and say, but how often do we say, oh, I'm not like them. I wouldn't do that. Oh, I wouldn't have cut Isaiah in half. I wouldn't have put Jeremiah in that hot oil. I wouldn't have done that to Moses. No, I wouldn't have done that, wouldn't we? Only 8 got on the ark. We malign the prophets. I want to share a story with you today. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 3 to 7, I'll just give you a bit of background about this story. This is about two kings at the time. They were contemporaries of one another. King Ahab, a wicked king as we know, and we also have King Jehoshaphat. King Ahab was king of the north in Israel. We have King Jehoshaphat, king of the south in Judah. Now, these two contemporaries were conducting the way they wanted to conduct the people under them, but Ahab was a wicked king. Jehoshaphat was a godly king. But after quite a few years of King Jehoshaphat being on the throne, his son married Ahab's daughter. So now we have an alliance of a son and a daughter coming into marriage, which wasn't of God's order. And this is where Jehoshaphat became unstuck. Now, Jehoshaphat was a man of God. But anyway, his son is married to Ahab's daughter. So this was an opportunity for Ahab. He was always a man of opportunity, but for the wrong reason. And he said to Jehoshaphat, look, I want to go up to Ramoth Gilead and I want to be able to take the Syrians. And he said, would you like to join with me in war? Well, he buckled at that. I guess once his son's married his daughter, he's in a bit of a compromising situation there. So he said, yes, we will go with you to war. So they get their armies. Prior to them getting their armies together, Jehoshaphat thought about this for a while. He thought, I don't know about this. This doesn't seem right. I'm not comfortable with this. He said to Ahab, look, just a minute, before we just run off and do this, I would like us to speak to the prophets. Can we get a prophet to see what they have to say about the matter? So King Ahab goes, yeah, sure, I've got 400 prophets. We'll bring them in and we'll see what they have to say. Well, these prophets of Ahab came along and they said, yes, you can go up to Ramoth Gilead and you'll be able to take them in war. God will deliver them into your hands. Jehoshaphat thought about this for a while and he just didn't feel right with it. So he said to King Ahab again, look, I really want to hear a prophet from God. I really want to hear a prophet from God. So Ahab said, yes, I've got a prophet here from God, but I hate him. And that's the word the Bible uses. If you don't believe me, look it up for yourself. He says, I hate Micaiah because he speaks evil against me. Anyway, King Ahab reluctantly got Micaiah to come in, who was a prophet at the time. And he asked Micaiah, shall we go up to Ramoth Gilead and defeat the Assyrians in the army there? And he said, and this is what he said. Micaiah said, I am only going to speak the words of the Lord. I am not going to speak my words. And this is what he said. I see Israel. I see Israel. Are they God's children? He says, I see them. A sheep without a shepherd. Are we God's children like a sheep without a shepherd? He said, I'm telling you, Ahab and Jehoshaphat, send the people home so they can be with their families at peace. Do you think that was good advice? I believe it was good advice because I believe that is what God had told Micaiah to tell King Ahab and King Jehoshaphat. Let's see what happened with that, with disobeying. Before we go to that, I just want to read from the word of the Lord. The words of the prophet should have been enough to show the kings that their object was not favoured by heaven, but neither ruler felt inclined to heed the warning. Ahab had marked out his course and was determined to follow it. Jehoshaphat had given his word. He said, we'll be with you in war. So here we have this compromise. And after making such a promise, he was reluctant to withdraw his forces. During the battle that followed, does anybody know what happened here? King Ahab was shot with a sword and died at eventide. Do you think he should have listened to the prophet? But he hated that prophet so much, before he died, he said, I don't like that man. I don't like what he said. We'll put him in jail. So we've got one cut in half, we've got Moses that wasn't listened to, we've got Noah that wasn't listened to. There seems to be a pattern here. Can you see it? Can you see this pattern of God's people not listening to the prophets? So I'm coming down to the time we live in today. And my question to you is, does God have a prophet for the church living in the last days of this earth's history? Do you all believe we're living in the last days of this earth's history? Do you believe that we might be given, we've been given a prophet? I want to explore that this morning. So what is my sermon entitled today? How can we prosper in 2025? I'm going to unpack the word of God this morning and I'm going to show to you how we're going to prosper. In Revelation 12, verse 1, if you'd like to come with me to Revelation 12 and verse 1. Revelation 12 and verse 1. And the word of God says, And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the and the moon. Under her feet. And upon her head was a crown of what? Okay. Now, going back to creation, we saw the sun, the moon, the stars. Can we see something here that's something maybe got something to do with God's end time church? We know that a woman in the Bible, in Bible prophecy, represents God's church. So here we have this woman. She's clothed with the sun. Let's find out what that sun is. Let's explore the word of God. Let us turn to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. Let's find out what that sun is. And the word of the Lord says, but unto you that fear my name shall the sun of what? Of righteousness. That is spelt. How's that sun spelt there? Okay. The sun of righteousness with healing in his wings and to go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So isn't that fascinating that we have this woman clothed with the sun, which we've now discovered is the sun of righteousness. Let's do a little bit more digging. I'd like us to go to Revelation 12 and verse 17. Revelation 12 and verse 17. And when you've got there, let me know by saying amen. Remember, we're talking about God's last day church, and does it have a prophet? And the dragon was wroth with the woman, angry with the woman, God's church, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the what? And the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the church in the last days will do what? They'll keep the law of God and they'll have the testimony of Jesus. Now, well, we know what the Ten Commandments are because we know a prophet back in the Old Testament gave the Ten Commandments and the people didn't like it and he ended up smashing them and everything like that. Do we smash things that have been and been told to us? Well, let's go to Revelation 19 because now we know what the sun is. We need to establish what the moon is. But let's go to Revelation 19 and confirm what the testimony of Jesus Christ is. When you get to Revelation 19 and verse 10, let me know by saying amen. Revelation 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. That's John the Revelator. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not, because I'm a fellow servant, and of thy brethren, that thou have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is what? It's very clear, isn't it? The testimony of Jesus is not actually him hanging on the cross. The testimony of Jesus, it all ties in. We don't separate the scriptures. But let me tell you, this is something very specific and we need to understand what the spirit of prophecy is. Okay, let me go to the next slide. The spirit of prophecy. So we've identified that this church in the last days in Revelation chapter 12, which was clothed with the sun, had the moon under her feet and the stars on her head, the crown of stars, is all identifying marks of the last day church. Now, we know it's not the literal sun. We know it's not the literal moon. These are symbolic, okay? So I'm talking in symbolic language, but they have a meaning. Let's see what the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of prophecy for our church, why was it given to us? The servant of the Lord says this, little heed is given to the Bible and the Lord has given a lesser light. Where does the moon get its light from? The lesser light. To lead men and women to what? Greater light. So now we've identified that the sun, the church of God in Revelation 12, it is clothed with the sun of righteousness, which is right doing, which is the commandments. Here we have the woman standing on the moon. The moon in Genesis 1 is one of those, remember, two great lights. She's humble. She's calling herself the lesser light, but all part of the Bible because we see in Revelation 19, it talks that the spirit, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, you can't just claim to be a prophet. There's got to be certain things that add up. Now, there's been many people out there, even today, that claim that they're prophets. But let me tell you, do they add up to what the Word of God says? If we go to Isaiah 8 and verse 20, if I can get you to look that up. Isaiah 8 verse 20. And when you've got there, let me know by saying amen. To the law, amen. Does the church in the last days keep the commandments of God? To the law, and to the testimony, Revelation 19, verse 10, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. To the law and to the testimony. What does it say? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there's not what? No light. Light. We need light, don't we? We need light. Okay. In 2 Peter 1:19, it says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed. What do we take heed to? The more sure word of prophecy, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, which is Jesus Christ. I just want to talk a little bit now about what did Jesus... Oh, here's this clicker. I'm not great with technology, as you can see. What did Jesus have to say regarding the prophets? I think it's very important that we actually find out what Jesus had to say about the prophets, don't you? Because if anybody knows it, it'd be Jesus. But before Jesus had something to say about the prophets... Now, I will just go with that verse first. Let's go to Matthew 23, verse 37. Matthew 23 and verse 37. When you've got there, let me know by saying amen. Dear God, please be with us as we open these words. You spoke these yourself, Lord, and how you wept for your people. Lord, please help us hear what you have to say now in Jesus' name. Amen. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that thou killest what? The prophets. You stonest them, which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Can you see Jesus here crying? Crying for his people. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. You've killed the prophets. You've stoned them. I cared so much for you. But you just killed all those that I sent to warn you about the impending doom. Just after that, Jesus went to the cross. I want us to stop and think about that just for a minute. He looked over Jerusalem, his people that he loved, and he wept. I want us to notice what Ellen White has to say in Desire of Ages at the time of the crucifixion. The hosts of heaven veiled their faces from the fearful sight. Listen to this. Inanimate nature expressed sympathy with its insulted, dying author. The sun refused to look upon the awful scene. The sun, nature. Its full bright rays were illuminating the earth at midday when suddenly it seemed to be blotted out. Complete darkness, like a funeral pall, enveloped the cross. There was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. There was no eclipse or other natural cause. This darkness, which was as deep as midnight, without moon, without stars. At the cross, the sun, the moon, the stars. Even nature itself, without an eclipse, were in darkness. I want us to think about that. Where's my clicker? Jesus had died on the cross. So many of his people were broken. So many were shattered because they hadn't heeded the prophets. And these two men were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. One of them was Cleopas. We don't know the name of the other. They were weeping. They were weeping so much that when this stranger came and stood beside them, they didn't recognise who it was. We've been talking about the church, God's church in the last days. In Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea is blind. They're wretched. They're poor. I feel like this is what Cleopas and his his other disciple friend were. They're walking to Emmaus and they were broken. They'd forgotten the words of the prophecy. They'd forgotten the words that Jesus Christ himself had said. Would he not raise himself up on the third day? These men were broken. They're walking along to Emmaus and they start telling Jesus, thinking he was a stranger. They're saying to him, but Lord, don't you? Well, they didn't call him Lord then because they weren't sure who he was. But they're saying to him, haven't you heard what's gone on in the last 3 days? This man we believed was the Messiah. We believed he was a great prophet. But who is he to us now? Now he's dead. We have heard that he's risen, but the priests and the Pharisees remembered that he was going to be raised. But they'd completely forgotten. They were blind. They were miserable. They were wretched. They were poor. They hadn't heeded the prophets. And what had it brought them? Total disappointment. But this is what I love about God. He didn't leave them in disappointment, did he? What did he do? This is how good God is. I want to share with you what he did from the Desire of Ages. He didn't come straight up to them and show his hands and his feet, his scars. This is what he showed them. Jesus showed the importance of the Old Testament as a witness to his mission. Many professed Christians now discard the Old Testament, claiming that it is no longer of any use. But such is not Christ's teaching. So highly did he value it at one time that he said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, the one who rose from the dead. Can you see the connection? The voice of Christ speaks through his patriarchs and prophets from the days of Adam even to the closing scenes of this earth's history. It is the light from the prophetic past that brings out the life of Christ and the teachings of the New Testament with clearness and beauty. Thank you so much for doing our scripture reading too, Clara. Because what is the sermon titled today? How to prosper in 2025. How do we prosper? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, he wants us to be in physical health, but he wants us to be in spiritual health. Can you see the connection in that verse? As thy soul prospereth, above all things, Jesus Christ wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper in 2025. And how can we do that? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe in his prophets. Finish it. Let's read it together again. With belief. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper. Friends, I wasn't brought up a Seventh-day Adventist, but God brought me out of darkness into his marvellous light. What light? The lesser light that led me to the greater light. These beautiful books, I'm encouraging you in the year 2025 to get them off your shelves. Get the dust off them and read them. They will change your life. Go through the patriarchs and prophets and kings. The Desire of Ages, the Life of Christ, I believe the most beautiful book next to the Bible that's ever been written. The Acts of the Apostles, God's Church, and the great controversy, how to prepare for what is going to come upon the world. I believe 2025 is going to have significant things happening in regards to Donald Trump being in as president and this Project 2025. It's talking about a Sunday law there. Are you ready? But we need to prosper because God wants us to prosper. I have one verse in closing. I need to find my piece of paper now. I know if we can go to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3, because we've talked about the Son, which we've established is the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. We've established what the moon is, the lesser light leading to the greater light, the spirit of prophecy. But who are the stars? Who are the stars? Daniel 12 verse 3 said, "And they shall be. And they that shall be wise shall be as brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness," remember that's the Son of Righteousness, "as stars forever and ever. By a life of devotion and self-sacrifice in doing good to others, you may be adding stars and gems to the crown that you will bear in heaven and laying up an unfading and eternal treasure forever." Manuscript releases. Friends, we're the stars. How can we be a star? By sharing the love of God to all those around us. That's how we'll prosper in 2025. Believing in the prophets, we will prosper. Believing in the Lord Jesus and we will be saved. God's given a message to the last day church. It is the spirit of prophecy. And I believe with all my heart that is how you and I will prosper in 2025. Let's close. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us as we sing this last hymn. Open our eyes that we may see visions of truth thou hast for me. Let's be upstanding in our last hymn. Amen.